The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Friday, April the 26th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to this Friday afternoon. I hope everybody's had a great week. We are closing out this week of podcasting, and we've got a great segment lined up for you today. Of course, before we get started, I want to first welcome everybody. If it's your first time joining us in the platform, wherever you're watching from, if you're able to comment and you're new, first time coming on, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, and we would love to hear where you guys are joining us from. And again, guys, please do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification, help us push our messages out there on these platforms so others can be blessed by the information, the revelation, the information and the equipping that we get out there every single week. And you can, one of the ways you can help us do that is just simply hit the like button and the share button. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And you can pick yours up today by simply going to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, Apple, Android, get it today, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away with every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint, everything that we put out there. You will not miss any of it. So tonight, I want to talk about this must happen in order for the Antichrist to make his arrival and his appearance. I want to say that again. This one thing has to take place, and believe it or not, it's not the rapture of the church. I know many of you think I was going to say that. Nope. I want to talk about this thing has to transpire in order for the Antichrist to be fully revealed in his time, and the Apostle Paul said that this thing has to happen first, and that is, you can find it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to pull this up. Many of you guys that are well-versed in eschatology, the study of end times, you're going to know this. So tonight, we're just going to sharpen your sword. So, but for those who may not be as educated or have the understanding of some of these things, this is why we put these podcasts out there, so we can equip you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, and he tells them concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He affirms them that they were not deceived into thinking that they had missed the rapture. They did not. The rapture had not occurred, and he came and he comforted them in this, and he tells them in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, now he's talking about the coming of the Lord, the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together. I know people's going to differ on this opinion, but when he says, let no one deceive you by any means for that day, when he talks about that specific day, I believe 100% he's talking about concerning the coming of our Lord Christ and gathering together unto him. I believe this is the harpazo, the rapture, the gathering of the church. And he says, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day, that event will not come, watch this, unless the falling away comes first. The falling away, many of you guys know this. What he's alluding to here is apostasy. Apostasy will come first, and the man of sin is revealed. It's that order, guys. Paul would have not wrote. Listen, this guy had 7 revelations of the Lord. He had such an abundance of revelation from the Lord that there was a messenger of Satan that was assigned to him to buffer him. And he pleaded with God that he would be delivered of it. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So because of the abundance of revelations that the Apostle Paul received directly from heaven, directly from the Lord, the Apostle Paul dealt with a lot of stuff, frankly, guys, that probably most of us wouldn't even make it probably a month into all the trials, tribulations, the lies placed on him, the threats upon his life, the shipwrecks, the perils of fastings, the perils of nakedness, the perils of wanting, all these things that came on him, things from the inside, things from the outside. People backstabbed him. All of this stuff transpired against the Apostle Paul in his ministry. And I believe a lot of it was brought against him. Now, granted, God allowed it, but a lot of this stuff came against him because of the abundance of revelations that he got from the Lord. So one of the things you will discover when you start reading the writings of the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church of Corinth, he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he wrote to the church of Thessalonica, the church in Rome, the church in all these churches that he wrote to, you'll discover that over and over again, he began to warn them about the rise of apostasy, the rise of false apostles and false prophets and false teachers. He talks about deception. He talks about falling away. He talks about backsliding. Now, I know some of you guys, depending on your denominational background, many of you guys have had preachers and pastors and teachers behind pulpits try to teach you that there is no such thing as backsliding, backslide, or backslidden. But guys, the Bible even mentions it. In the book of Proverbs, it says the backslidden in heart will be filled with his own ways. Don't tell me that backslide, backslidden, and backslider is not a concept found in the Bible, because it is. So the Apostle Paul, knowing this, he has warned the church over and over again. And I want to show you some of these warnings that Paul gave. First of all, if you go to the book of Acts chapter 20, I'm going to pull this up. Acts chapter 20. Look what he says here. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Now he's addressing pastors of churches that he's established and that were established in that area of Rome and different places there that he established these churches. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now look what the apostle says here in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure. Now he's not talking about when I leave to go on vacation, or I take a sabbatical, or I step down and retire from pastoring. No. Or from being an apostle or the overseer of the church. No, what he was talking about here, when he said after my departure, he was talking about after he would die. He would finish his race. After my departure, look what he says here. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, come on, within, men will rise up speaking perverse things. This is so important, guys, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Wow, let me say it again. I'm just going to paraphrase this real quick. The Apostle Paul was grieving, and he was grieved to know, and he warned them that after he would depart from this world, savage wolves would come in and spare not the flock. And he said they would even rise up among the own church, among the ecclesia. And these men would rise up speaking perverse things, distorted things, things that are not of God. And they would draw away disciples after themselves. Come on, they would form cults. They would form false churches. If you listen to my podcast yesterday, I gave a great example of this. I experienced this in my own in my own life, early on in my walk with the Lord, there was men that rose up among the church that I was a part of, and they were drawing disciples after themselves, and they were apostates. They were teaching false doctrine, and they were leading people astray and splitting and dividing churches in the region of where I was. So I got some more scripture for you, but we're going to pull up some new research, some new articles, some new information that I have gathered over the past week or two that I want to talk about tonight, because I want to show you, because I know it's real easy, guys, to get discouraged when we start seeing some of this stuff happening. You know, in my own blog, when I was blogging about this, and I said, if you want to know what the end times looks like, if you want to know what the falling away, the apostasy of the apostasy looks like, just look at the headlines that has garnered attention over the past month or so, or longer, since the beginning of the year. We've got pastors punting the Bible, God's holy word. They're kicking it like a football off the stage into the congregation. You've got pastors bringing in weight benches and weights and lifting weights. You got another pastor that's getting, he's got his barber up there and he's getting a haircut while he's preaching the gospel. You got another guy, you got another pastor that's playing filthy, vile, secular music with explicit content and lyrics in his church before he comes out and preaches the gospel. You've got churches that before the worship team takes the platform, they're playing secular music like Taylor Swift. Which, don't get me started on that. She just cut a new album. And listen, it amazes me how we've got so many professed Christians that listen to that trash. Not only they listen to that trash, but they let their children listen to that garbage when it has all kinds of explicit lyrics that blasphemes God, that spits in the face of God, and that would make people blush, but they have no problem with it. And they'll fight you to hang on to their Taylor Swift. You've got all kinds of nonsense going on. I mean, I've just named a few of these. If I went down every one of these, it would probably take 15 minutes to go through all these. But the point I'm trying to make is, guys, the Apostle Paul said, I know it's hard. It's easy to get discouraged when you see this stuff. You just want to throw in a towel. Well, Brother Ricky, I don't want to go to church anymore. This and that. You just want to give up. But I've come by it today to tell you. Number one, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about the four-walled brick and mortar building that's around the corner from your house, because I don't know what they teach. I don't know what they believe. I don't know if they're sound in doctrine. I don't know about that. That's something people ask me all the time. They say, where should I go to church? Well, I tell them the Bible never makes it clear where to go to church. It just tells you what kind of church you should be a part of. Let me just give you a litmus test real quick of what type of church you should be looking for. You should look for a church that, and as much as I'd love to say that replicates the book of Acts, I venture to say I can't find a church anywhere that literally mimics the book of Acts. But as close as possible, find a church, guys, that holds to sound doctrine, that believes in the fundamentals, for goodness sake. They believe in the blood of Jesus. They believe in the cross. They believe in repentance. They believe in the preaching of sin. They believe in grace. They believe in mercy. They believe in forgiveness. They believe in, come on, they believe in salvation through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit today. They believe in casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. Come on, they believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. They believe in the breaking of bread. They believe in communion. They believe in water baptism in Jesus' name. You got to study the word and use that as your guidepost and your and what to measure up to. Or Brother Ricky, they've got a good golf team. Well, they've got a great baseball team. Well, they've got great theatrics they've got. They've got the state of the art music. They've got the best speakers. They've got the best sound system. They change their platform every week, and it makes it, and it's so glamorous. They have the best Christmas play of anybody. Listen, all that stuff is great. It's nice, but it is superficial, and it's not going to equip. It's not going to disciple, and it's not going to be beneficial to your growth and maturity as a believer. Friends, listen, I am old school. I'm just going to tell you right now, I would rather have a church that has, maybe it doesn't have the nicest carpet. Maybe it doesn't have the nicest sound system, doesn't have the greatest speakers. It doesn't have the good looking people on the platform. They don't have all the bells and whistles. They don't have a good baseball team. But what they do have is, come on, they've got a leadership full of intercessors and elders. Come on, and a prayer team. And they've got, people that love God. They know how to seek God. They know how to find God. They know how to touch God. They know how to call heaven down, and they see the fire of God moving in their flock. Young people are getting saved. People are getting delivered. People are getting healed. Come on, people are getting set free from demon oppression. That, my friend, is, I would run to that and run away from all of the bells and whistles any day of the week. So listen, I come by to tell you today, as discouraging as it looks in the condition of the church that we're seeing with all the nonsense, for goodness sake, look what, I mean, how many articles and how many ways can we spin the Mark Driscoll and John Lindell circus, the sword swallowing saga? How many different ways can we spin this? And it's just amazing to me that this is even a talking point, that we're even discussing this. Again, it's, you know, why do we need, we have to resort to sword, shirtless, sword swallowing theatrics, because equipping and discipling men of God is not enough at a men's conference. Instead, we have to bring all this other stuff instead. That's the point I'm making, friends. Again, the apostle, we could get discouraged by this, but I come by today to remind you and stir you up in the way of remembrance. As egregious as it is, and it looks, this has been foretold, and the apostles warned us that what we're seeing right now, all of this stuff happening, has to happen first. And it's in the order. This has got to happen first, and it will only get worse. And this is going to usher in both the coming of the Lord in the, as far as the rapture of the church, the gathering together, and the revealing of the Antichrist. So when you see an article like this, a headline that reads Bible engagement falls below 40% among Americans as it continues a decade long decline, this shouldn't surprise you at all. This shouldn't shock you, because this has been foretold. We knew this was going to happen. A comprehensive survey conducted by the American Bible Society, State of the Bible USA 2024, has revealed a continuing decline in Bible engagement among Americans. Experts worry, look at this, this trend could have a far-reaching implications for the country's spiritual and social fabric. Why do you think we're in the conditions we're in right now? And again, I expect the world out there to not know the Bible, not know the Word of God. I get that they're ignorant. They're just ignorant of the Word of God. They don't know any better. But what's really sad is when this becomes the indictment of the professed Bible-believing, professed Christian by name, professed church-going believers, who it is abundantly evident that they don't know the Bible, they don't know the Word of God. You know, let me give you one example, okay? I could get probably 12, 15, 20 examples. We're going to give another example today here in just a minute, but I'm going to give you another one here. One of them is always, this is what you hear all the time, the judge not and be not judged. So, and I'm going to make this really short. I'm not going to spend 25 minutes on this explaining this. And by the way, all the context of this you can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go read the whole chapter. Don't read just a couple verses. Read chapter, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll pull it up here, but I'm not going to read all this, guys. I'm just pulling this up here for reference here. 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul addresses a situation in the church of Corinth where there is sexual immorality among the church, where a young man is having relations with his father's wife. The Apostle Paul brings correction as the apostle of the house, brings correction to the church and the pastor, and says, why have you not grieved over this? Why have you not dealt with this? And he says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Okay, now stop. Anytime you start seeing stuff like this happen, you get all these, and I'm going to say it, you can get mad at me and check out anytime you want. Listen, it's an oscillating door. You can just walk in and come out as well as you want, because I am not worried about offending people. I'm going to preach the truth. Okay? Here it is. Ignorant, unlearned Christians always make this statement, and they would have made this statement in this day, when this was written to the church of Corinth, when the Apostle Paul addressed the church and he rebuked the young man for committing sexual immorality, and then he instructed the church, read it, it's 1 Corinthians 5, it's right there. He instructs the church and the pastor to give that boy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that in the end his spirit may be saved. Guys, can you hear it now? I can hear it. People in this church, just like today, would say, well, Brother Ricky, it's not our place to judge. They would say, Brother Paul, I know you've come with zeal and you're so zealous for the church, but judge not lest you be judged. It's not our place to judge, Brother Paul. And he was the apostle of the house. He set the house in order. Okay? So he had a spiritual authority over that house. And that's why the pastor didn't reject his message. He didn't reject the instructions. He heeded the instructions. And Paul went on to say, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So therefore, purge it out. Get rid of the sin that's in the camp. Get rid of the sin that's in the church, because if you tolerate this sin and you put up with it, it's going to spread like leaven. And before you know it, it's going to give the impression to all the new church members and the existing church members that they can continue to live in their sins and their lifestyle. And there's no repercussion. They don't need to separate themselves from the world. They don't need to be sanctified. They don't need to be holy. They don't need to be any of these things. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul said. Let me read on down here, if you don't mind, because we're going to, again, I'm just giving you one example today. You go all the way down here in verse 9, and the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I wrote to you in my epistle, do not keep company with sexually immoral people. Look what he says here. I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world. So let me bring some correction today. When we talk about Taylor Swift, she is of the world. She's not a, to my knowledge, I've never seen her say that she's a professed Christian. Again, I stand to be corrected. If she did, then this makes this even worse. Then this is not a good example. But we can use a musician, a celebrity, anybody, your neighbor, your coworker who has no relationship with God. They don't go to church. They're not a Christian. Paul is saying here, look what he says here. Do not keep company with sexually immoral people. I certainly did not mean with those sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, the extortioners, the idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. Remember, friends, Jesus said it is the sick that need a doctor and not the well. This is why the Pharisees were foaming at the mouth when Jesus would eat with sinners. Now, again, I'm going to bring another correction here. That doesn't mean that Jesus was out here on a Friday night and he was partying with the sinners at Galilee. And then on Saturday night, he was at the bar down there at the local tavern and he was hanging out with the tax collectors in Capernaum. No, that's not what that means. When he ate with sinners, he was there for a mandate. He was there for, come on, a purpose. He was sent by the Father to be a light in the midst of the darkness. He was looking to, come on, to convert souls into the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't there hanging out and having a beer and smoking a joint. I'm going to preach my message the way I want to preach it today, because we got a bunch of messed up stuff going around in the body of Christ because nobody's preaching on this stuff. Paul is saying here, we've got to rub elbows with the world, but not be, he said, be in this world, but not of the world. We have to rub elbows with them at your workplace and your neighborhood. And you go to an event, you go to a gathering. You're going to be around people. You're going to be around sinners. You're going to be around idolaters and immoral people, covetous, extortioners, all these people. And you let your light so shine among them that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven, but you do not partake of their sin. Now watch, let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I've written to you, look what he says, not to keep company with anyone named a brother. If they call themselves a brother in the Lord, AKA a Christian, a woman of God, a sister in the Lord, if they're proclaiming themselves as a Christian, a believer, born again, and they're living a lifestyle of sexual immorality, covetousness, idolatry, they're a reviler, a drunkard, an extortioner, Paul says, don't even bother eating with them. Don't sit down with them. Don't go to dinner. Don't go to lunch with them. Don't be hanging out with them. Verse 12, for what do I have to do with judging those who are on the outside? I just told you who those were. These are the people that you know, I know. These are people that don't have a covenant relationship with God at all. He says, what about I have to do with judging them? Listen, they're already judged, friend. If they die in their sins without being born again, they're going to be judged. They're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, and their name will not be in the Lamb's book of life. But look what he says. Look what he says. I want everybody to highlight this verse, because next time the ignorant, unlearned Christian gets on your Facebook page or your post, and they quote this scripture, judge not lest you be judged. I want you to show them this. Look what Paul says. Do you not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside God judges? Translation, as believers, we are to hold one another accountable. We are to bring correction to one another. James, the Apostle James says, confess your faults one to another. You see, nobody's doing this today. Listen, we are to judge by fruit. If someone, again, claims to be a Christian, they're a music artist and they claim to be a Christian, but their lyrics are filled with vulgarity, blasphemy, swearing, idolatry, and et cetera, et cetera. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit, and by the fruits you will know them. So don't miss the point. Let me go back to the article. Bible engagement falls below 40% among Americans. Guys, it is evident that people are not reading their Bible. According to the study, only 30% of American adults now engage with the Bible at least 3 to 4 times a year outside of church services, marking a slight decrease from 40% in the previous year. This gradual decline has been a consistent trend over the past 10 years. Despite the overall decrease in Bible usage, there are signs of an enduring interest in spiritual growth. Oh yeah, people are interested in spirituality. They're interested in the supernatural. But you know what? You know what they're doing? They're delving into the occult. They're delving into witchcraft. They're delving into New Age. New Age, occult, and witchcraft, and they're departing the church. And it's not a shock that the spiritual decline is most pronounced among younger generations. Here's another headline. More Gen Z women are leaving the church than men. Now, this is according to a new survey. More Gen Z women than men are leaving the church. According to a new survey, a higher percentage of young women have left organized religion and identify as religiously unaffiliated than their male counterparts, prompting concerns about the future of religion in the U.S. The Survey Center of American Life released new research last week examining the views on religion in the U.S. based on responses collected from 5,459 American adults last year. The survey found that in contrast to older generations, women constitute a majority of Gen Zers who have completely disaffiliated from organized religion. The research suggests that young women's skepticism about organized religion stems from a belief that most Christians do not treat men and women equally. So guys, again, see, all this cultural stuff is bleeding right into the church. All that stuff is impacting the church rather than the church impacting the culture. Listen to this. The research lists additional factors that might explain the reason why young women are rejecting organized religion. One explanation offered is that 61% of Gen Z women identify as feminist, which is far greater than women from previous generations. Another finding, citing statistics from the Public Religion Research Institute, identified churches' supposed negative treatment of gay and lesbian people as a result why young people are abandoning organized religion. The report also went on to point out to research, including in the 2022 General Social Survey, finding that 54% of young women believe that abortion should be available without any restriction. Now, again, think about this, guys. Look at all three of these factors. Feminism, LGBTQ, and abortion. Again, all of these things are political hot buttons. These are prominent in the progressive church who, watch this, condones and advocates this stuff. They call themselves Christians, but they have no problem with abortion. They have no problem with LGBTQ acceptance, and they, and a lot of them promote feminism. So this is not a shock. Again, the culture has infiltrated the church, and it's completely transforming the church. This is absolutely sad. Now, look, as we could get sad about this. We could get discouraged about this. We could get angry about this. But I remind you that Paul said, in his day, and he was the apostolic authority of his day, and he said, I know this, when I depart, when my voice of authority is removed from the picture, ravenous wolves are going to come in and not even spare the flock, and they're going to rise up even among the inside of the church. And you know, you've heard me say this, guys. What we're seeing inside the church, that stuff rising up in the church and getting behind the pulpits, it's simply a product of supply and demand from the congregation. What? What are you talking about, Brother Ricky? Oh, yeah, let me say it again in case you didn't hear me the first time. All what you get behind the pulpit and the teaching and the doctrine in most of these churches is simply a supply and demand from the congregation of the church. Paul said it like this. He said, you better make sure, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, okay? If you want to know where I'm at, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. He said, and now he's talking to all of us. I'm going to talk to the preacher listening to me. I don't care if you're, listen, whatever your age, whatever if you're male, female, whatever it looks like to you. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? Why is Paul stressing that? Why is he stressing that we need to convince, that we need to rebuke, that we need to exhort and with all long-suffering and teaching? He said, because the time is coming when, and I want to highlight some stuff here, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Notice all of the they's, theirs. And this is not talking about the world. This letter was to the church. And he's saying, Timothy, the day will come, and it'll probably happen after my departure, when the apostolic authority of the church has departed, there's going to come in a new generation of preachers, teachers, apostles, and prophets and prophetesses, and pastors and shepherds. And because the people no longer want to endure sound doctrine, they don't want to be convinced, they don't want to be rebuked, they don't want to bring correction, they don't want to be told to turn from their sin, they don't want that, so they don't want to endure sound doctrine. But he says that according to their own desires, to scratch their itching ears, they will gather their own teachers of their liking so that they could get those ears tickled and scratched. And it'll be so bad that they'll turn from the truth and turn aside to fables. And by the way, I'm going to pull this up. Did you, in Paul's day, this was happening in his day. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, look what it says here. Having faith and a good conscience, some, having rejected, what did they reject? Faith and a good conscience. Concerning the faith, look what he says here, they have suffered shipwreck. Brother Ricky, I don't believe in backsliding. Well, the Apostle Paul sure did, because he wrote letters about it. And he said, concerning the faith, some have even shipwrecked. Now, you can do what you want with that. Well, I don't believe in backsliding. Look, you go figure out what he's talking about here. But he's saying concerning the faith, some have suffered shipwreck, and he names them, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who he delivered to Satan that they may not learn to blaspheme. Now, these were professed brothers of Christ. Here's another one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That sounds a lot like backsliding to me. You know what else sounds like backsliding? 1 Timothy chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of he wrote to Timothy, he warned him, he said the Holy Spirit expressively says in the latter times, the latter days, the end times, some will depart from the faith. Why? Because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I got one more story to show you. Before I get into the story, let me recap. The falling away, the apostasia that we're seeing right now on the levels that we're seeing is Bible prophecy, guys, unfolding before our eyes. So having said that, it's not a shock to me when I see a headline like I'm about to show you right here. When I see a headline like this, this doesn't shock me at all, because knowing the word of the Lord. Let me read this. This is from Harbinger's Daily. Disturbing hostility towards Bible prophecy. Why does the church neglect this profound evangelism tool? Why does the church neglect Bible prophecy? Why is there such hostility towards Bible prophecy? Now, this is written by Tim Moore. I'm going to read this. We're going to read this together. Look at this. Quote, one consistent criticism of Bible prophets, or at least advocates of the importance of God's prophetic word, is that it has little relevance. Look at that. It has little relevance to individual believers or the core work of the church. How many preachers? Listen, if you go to a church and you attend a church and your pastor gets up and he says he won't preach Bible prophecy, he won't teach on eschatology, he won't teach on the coming of the Lord, he won't warn his congregation about the Antichrist, the beast system, the third temple coming, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, he won't talk about any of it. Gog, Magog, Psalm 83, the Damascus being destroyed. He won't touch on Bible prophecy. And if he makes this excuse by saying that it has little relevance to the believer, I'm going to tell, listen, I would run from that church. Run. Let me read on. Many pastors express reluctance to preach on Bible prophecy because they have so many other concerns clamoring for their attention, from marriage, family issues, to Satan and sin nipping at the heels of their flock. Well, first of all, they probably don't even address sin. So it's probably like a devil's playground in the church, destroying marriages and destroying the flock. If they would give heed to the word of God and the instructions that we just read in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul gave instructions to the shepherds and the pastors of the house how to deal with this. But are they doing that? I don't know. Let's read on. Others, and this is unbelievable, others are openly hostile towards Bible prophecy. Rick Warren is one of these. He's a prominent pastor who leads a huge church and is a best-selling author, characterizes prophecy. Look at this. He considers prophecy as a, quote, distraction. Are you shocked? If you know your homework, Rick Warren is one of these pastors. He even went further and says, look at this. He went on to say that anyone who lets himself get involved in distractions like studying prophecy is not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. What a statement. Let me say that again. Rick Warren, who has thousands of followers, is one of the best-selling authors out there for his books, The Purpose-Driven Life. He was a speaker. He was really big 20 years ago or whatever. He says that Bible prophecy is a mere distraction, and anyone who lets himself get involved in distractions like studying Bible prophecy is not even fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that's very intriguing, Mr. Warren, being that the book of Revelation, which is all about Bible prophecy, John the Revelator wrote in the introduction of the book of Revelation, it's in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It is absolutely astounding to me that John said there is a blessing upon the readers and the word, and those who hear and heed the words of this prophecy of the book of Revelation. But yet this guy, Mr. Rick Warren, says that Bible prophecy is a distraction, and that anyone who studies Bible prophecy is not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to take Mr. Warren's word? Or are you going to take John the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation? I think I'll go with John. Another well-known advocate of re-envisioned Christianity, Tony Campolo, I don't even know who this guy is, said, quote, rigid Christians who believe in the possibility of Jesus's soon return are a real problem for the entire world. Can you believe this is a quote unquote Christian saying this? That if you're listening to this and you actually believe in the possibility of the return of Jesus, you are a real problem for the entire world. Mr. Tim Moore said, these men express a hostility towards Bible prophecy that is disturbing. I 100% agree with him. Jesus' own disciples expressed certain expectations based on their understanding of Old Testament prophecies. Exactly. During one visit to Jerusalem following Jesus' prophecy concerning the destruction of the temple built by Herod, they came to the Lord privately, and you guys know this, Matthew 24:3. Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and end of the age? And I want to just interject something here. When they asked Jesus that, Jesus didn't rebuke them for asking that. He didn't say, well, boys, that's irrelevant. Well, boys, you're not fit for the kingdom because you're asking me about prophecy. He didn't say that. Jesus did not dismiss their expectations or scoff at their understanding. He certainly did not rebuke their interest in what had been prophesied. Instead, he expounded on the signs of his coming and the end of the age. I want to read on here. The primacy of prophecy was introduced in the opening chapters of Genesis by God himself and is woven through the entire book until the last chapter of Revelation. Absolutely correct. Uttered by God either directly or through his prophets, it profits those who take it seriously. Following his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? John 21:15-17. But in John 12:44, the rhetorical question behind his interaction with the crowd was, quote, do you trust me? Even as he said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And since the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, studying God's prophetic word helps us identify, understand, and share the Son. Wow, that's good. So guys, you can go on. You can read the rest of this article. I'm pretty sure we did share that. We shared the excerpt of that, and we put a hyperlink in there so you could pull you back to the original source of the article that, again, was written there by Tim Moore. So this is extraordinary. This is absolutely mind-boggling that you have these so-called pastors and these evangelists and these teachers that are trying to discourage you and the body of Christ from studying Bible prophecy and pulling you away from it. Let me go back to my original point. The things that we've discussed today on this program, again, they're going to disgust you. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to make you sick to your stomach. It's going to break your heart. But guys, understand this. This is Bible prophecy unfolding right before our eyes. These are the things we don't want to talk about. And I want to remind you of Paul's, I'm going to leave you with this. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what he said. Let me pull this up. He said, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. We're here, guys. This is it. We're in the last days. We're seeing the perilous times everywhere around us. For men will be lovers of themselves. This is the TikTok personified, Facebook shorts personified, YouTube shorts personified. Look at all the Instagram. Look at all this stuff. The lovers of themselves is disgusting. It's ridiculous. Lovers of money. If this has infiltrated the church, we could spend 15, 20 minutes talking about that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at how children respond to the parents. It's unbelievable how they talk. I'm talking about 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds swearing, saying 4-letter words and blaspheming God and just unbelievable. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Let me say that again. You're going to know you're in the last days when you see this prevalence of this form of Christianity. It's not the Christianity of the Bible. It's not the Christianity of the early church. It's an apostate form of Christianity that will have a form. It will have a presentation, looked apart, talked apart, act like. But where's the fruit? Where's the demonstration? Where's the power of the Holy Ghost? And Paul said they'll have a form. They'll have a presentation of godliness. They'll say all the right words, but they will deny the very power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to leave you with what Paul said. From such people, turn away. Guys, I don't know how much clearer we can make it, because we get the emails, we get the messages, we get the comments, we get them every week, and they'll say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm going to give you some scenarios here. Or Brother Ricky, there is no churches in my area that preach sound doctrine, that preach on all the things that we talked about. I don't want to rehash all that we talked about earlier in this program. They don't teach on these fundamentals, none of this stuff. Should I go there? Look, if you're asking me if I should lower my standards and compromise my walk with God and allow the wet blanket committee to put my fire out so that I could do my religious duty and punch the clock, then the answer is no. I much rather, listen, the Bible said, where there are two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Good heavens. If you can't find anybody and you're the only person of your household, then connect with an online group that at least believes in the power of the Lord, believes in the power of the Holy Ghost, believes in sound doctrine. Get connected with them. But if it's just you and mama and daddy and your kids and your aunties, your uncles, your aunts, auntie, whatever, depending on where you're from, aunt, auntie, aunt. I'm hitting all these demographics. Whoever they are, moms, family, relatives, neighbors. If I've got to, honey, I'll have church in my house to guard the hearts of those who I'm accountable to. You think I'm going to expose my children to some nonsense, false doctrine that's going to lead them astray to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which in the end leaves your conscience seared with the hot iron? No, thank you. So, there's a reason why Paul told Timothy, from such people, turn away. Let me give you modern vernacular. Run away. Run away from that stuff. Run far, far away from it. This is what I had someone ask me the other day. They said, well, Brother Ricky, how come you're never a guest on anybody else's program? Because they don't want people like me on their programs. They don't want preaching like this. I'm telling you guys, they don't like this kind of preaching. I don't tickle ears. I am not an ear tickling preacher. I preach the word of God. I've said for 24 years, if it's just me and Jesus, I'm okay with that. If it's just a handful of people, because listen, I'm going to keep preaching what the Bible says. I'm not one of these people that I'm not going to blow with every wind of doctrine. Well, this is the new thing coming around. This is the new fad. Oh, Brother Ricky, look at this. The churches are growing exponentially because they've introduced this new thing. Well, does the new thing line up with the old paths? Does it line up with the word? Does it line up with what the early church taught and believed? Look what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, therefore, brethren, oh, come on, this is a word right here. This is one to hold on to right here. I want you to ingrain this in your spirit. Therefore, brethren and sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Let me say that again. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, wherefore by word or our epistle. Listen, I want to close with this thought, and I want to give us a quick prayer. I want to do a quick prayer with you guys. It's going to get weird. It's going to get crazy. And Paul said it's going to be perilous. The falling away, the apostasia, is only going to increase. And all this is doing, guys, is it is drawing us closer and closer to the appearance and the unveiling of the man of perdition, the Antichrist, and, come on, somebody, that glorious event that Paul described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, as a shout, as a voice likened unto a trumpet saying, come up here. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Come on. So that's where we're heading, guys. So it's not to, don't let this discourage you. Don't let this bring you down. Again, Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, keep your heads lifted up because your redemption is drawing near. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I have delivered this word today, and I thank you that your word says that your word will not return void, but it will go forth and it will establish and it will equip and it will prosper in that which it's sent forth to do. So I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, every individual watching, every individual listening now or by the rebroadcast of this, I pray that we would all heed the words of the apostles, that we, Lord God, would remain steadfast. We would hold fast and stay fast in the traditions in which we've been taught, and we will hold firm to the mighty Word of God, that no matter what new fads, new winds of doctrines blow in, Lord, even if all forsake, we remain steadfast so that we can endure to the end. And you said the same shall be saved. Lord, I pray that you grace us with strength. Give us the ability to do this. May the Holy Spirit help us to walk out this life and help us have boldness, Lord, that we can proclaim the gospel, but we could also have the boldness if we have to, we're going to have to walk away from some people, walk away from some churches, walk away from some preachers, and we're going to have to separate ourselves and come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing according to your word. And Father, we thank you for this word today, and we give you praise and we give you glory and honor for it. And it's in your son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our website, download our free app, Android, Apple, again, both. It's available on both platforms. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. And guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, all the above, week after week, we want you to pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically. It's right there on your screen, either through the app or through the main website. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out right there to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, it is, again, Friday, April the 26th. We will be off Saturday and Sunday. We'll be right back here on Monday, April 29th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Same time, same place, same channel, with another great program, Lord willing. We're almost getting ready to wrap up the month of April. We'll be going into the month of May. So we're looking forward to next week being right back here in the studio and being with you and bringing some more equipping, edification, and information to you and your family. So until we see you then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.